Manx Radio's Countryside is brought to you by NFU Mutual.
Hello and welcome to Countryside here on Manx Radio. I'm Simon Clark.
And I'm Kerry Kermode. On Sunday, I went along to Bolshuggle Farm in Baldwin to catch up with the young farmers as they hosted the shearing and stock judging for this year.
And I find out from Charlie Corkle from Mackle whether the rumours are true about a combine seen out combining winter barley. Well, that time of year, Kerry, sheep and cattle sales, is it, at the moment?
Well, getting ready for the shows and some of the winter and autumn stock that are preparing for the breeding sales will be getting tended to now because they're only a few weeks away. Beginning of August is the first of the sales.
Yeah, and preparation. I mean, the shows are, I don't know, 4 weeks away yet, but 3 or 4 weeks away, but preparations started long before this, hasn't it?
Long time ago, yeah. And in some ways, the genetics as well. It can be decades of breeding, years of work and getting them absolutely honed to perfection. But they have to look that picture perfect on the day. So there'll be lots of pampering going on at the moment for many of the livestock breeders around the Isle of Man.
Yeah, and the spud growers, or potatoes if you're posh. they'll be, you know, the new potatoes are out and about and probably still weather. I don't think they'd be irrigating a lot of them at the moment. I think there's been enough rain just in between everything now.
The early part was a bit of a struggle, wasn't it? It was quite dry once they got them in the ground, but like you say, we could do with a little bit more sunshine, couldn't we, really? Yeah.
Still that smell of peas growing as well. Not sure, I haven't seen too much maize around the Isle of Man growing, so we'd be ready to hear about that one as well when the combines get out, because the combines can do everything in this day and age, can't they?
They can indeed change the header over and you've got a new device. But it's amazing how the year's moving on so quickly, Simon. You know, crops are being harvested now.
Yes, we'll be hearing from the young farmers later in the programme. But firstly, of course, different times of the year. Some prefer the spring barley, some prefer sowing in the winter, the winter barley. And rumours that the Class Lexian combine had been out and about in Mackled. I went along to speak to Charlie Corkle to find out more.
Well, firstly, Charlie, the combine rumours, they true?
Yeah, they were, Simon. Yeah, they were true. We were out combining last week.
Yeah. Is that one of the earliest for yourselves?
Definitely the earliest for us, that's for sure. I think it's, well, we have had earlier because we did combine on the 5th of January one year. It was 1998.
What was going on there?
Oh, it was just a bad year. 1997 was a bad year, I think, towards the end. And yeah. No, so it's nice to get it in, done early. I was quite impressed.
Yeah. What about the crop itself? Because it was a sort of, since it was sown, there's been bouts of rain, you know, for weeks and weeks, bouts of dryness. How did it fare up amongst all of that?
We were down about, we were down quite a lot. We were down nearly a ton an acre on yield on last year. And I was just impressed with how well it had turned out in the finish, really, after all that hard work it's had to go through to get to this stage.
Yeah. And what sort of tonnage per acre were you getting?
We got 18 tons off the 5 acres. So, yeah, we're working at sort of 3 ton an acre, 3.3, which I think is okay for considering all the hassle that's gone through to get to where we are now. It's not all been a bed of roses.
But of course, the grain, the great bit of the harvest and why people grow crops. But the straw, so important as well. How did the straw fare?
The straw's still on the ground. We haven't managed to get that up yet. This last couple of days have been a bit wet. We'll get that mopped up this week and hopefully there's a fair bit of straw on one field and then the other field was a bit less, but that's just the way it goes. The straw was a bit shorter with, like we just said, the dampness and then the dryness. It's two extremes in one crop, so yeah.
But when the people who may not know too much about the farming scene, what happens with your barley grain and your straw? Is it kept on farm?
Yeah, so we keep all ours on farm and then we feed that to beef cattle through the winter, so it gives us the majority of our feed comes from the winter barley and a little bit of spring barley, but that's what we do with it.
Yeah, and also not feeding the raw grain to them. What's the process for using the barley grain as feed?
So we roll all our grain, so it's all rolled, and then we mix it with a mineral to create the correct diet for the cattle, depending on their age. So that varies as well, depending on the age of the cattle, what type of feed they will get. But the main base of that is always the barley.
I know there was conversations and diaries being looked at. I mean, a lot of the farmers, it's surprising. People say, oh, they wouldn't know how to turn a computer on and things like that, the older generation. But when you listen to some of the older generation talking, there's books and diaries going back years of when they planted crops and when they combined or sown or ploughed.
Well, I think we take it for granted now, don't we? You know, I look back sort of 10 years on photographs to see what happened maybe at a particular time. But before that, before the invention of mobile phones and mobile devices, you could keep an accurate record of that you can access quick. Diaries were the only way. And I think it is interesting. We've got a lot of diaries here at the farm that Dad's had, and Mum certainly kept a good diary. And it is nice to go back sometimes and just see what was happening on a particular day, or maybe it's something that you think happened, but you're not 100% sure. You can always double check. A diary is handy, isn't it?
Did you look back and go, wow, I don't think I've ever planted that type of thing or grown that on the farm before?
Well, I think I'm very lucky. I've got a very knowledgeable father who really has tried a lot of things. He was very open to try new things, and every time we go to try different things, his knowledge is just a wealth of information when it comes to various crops and various other things on the farm, not just crops, the animals as well. I take it for granted quite a lot, but I think it's his knowledge is, he always says stuff and I think, well, maybe you're not right, but it turns out he normally is right, so I should do a bit more listening, really.
But your farm here in Mackled, it's obviously Mackled's quite open, and what's it like for crops in particular?
Well, it seems that we've turned into early ground, really. We predominantly were quite a wet farm where we are here, and then we spread down all the way to the sea onto Lake at the bottom there around the Venture Centre. But up on here, we get a lot of morning sun, so that I think that's made a difference to the crops, really. And they sort of, with it being the wetter ground, it's held and retained a bit of moisture during the drought period, which is nice because normally you can't get on the fields, but we had a really good spring for us. And I know a lot of people didn't, so I don't want to brag about it, but that's how it went for us here.
Yeah. When you say the ground's quite wet, and I look at it and think, well, Mackle's quite slopey from your farm here down towards the sea. I mean, it must be a credit to the people who set out drainage and things like that, really, to sort of keep the right amount of moisture in the ground.
Yeah, well, I think that's a lot has to be paid to our forefathers for that. You know, I certainly haven't done... I've probably only touched 5% of the drains that's here on the farms, you know, and we've had an easy time out doing that with diggers and being able to pull gravel to the drains quick. But a lot of the drains, we certainly the ones we've done this spring, we found stone drains that are maybe a foot and a half wide, some of them are a foot deep, and they're 3 foot underground, you know, and this was all dug by hand, and it's incredible, really, what we found. And but that is a testament to like I say, to people that have come before us on the land. It's certainly done a lot of drainage.
But cereal crops we've spoke about, and also got quite a number of livestock on the farm as well.
Yeah, so we're predominantly beef rearing unit is what we are. So we have over 100 finishing cattle, which we try and finish every year. Some we do.
And what breeds mainly?
Angus, we're spread between Angus and Hereford, and a little bit of stabiliser coming in, which is nice as well, trying a little bit of something different. And Longhorn is the other one we're on.
You've heard of Shorthorn. It's a variant of it, is it?
Yeah, it's just a different variation of just a totally different breed, really.
Right.
I'll throw you some pictures, you can have a look, it's easier to explain. But yeah, we buy a lot of dairy calves in. And some of them are Longhorns, and they do really well for us. Like everything does really well for us here. You know, we're good. It's good ground for cattle, as well as it maybe doesn't have the highest yielding grain, but
steady.
Yeah, it's copable. It's manageable.
And what about early with the crops? I mean, how much of a crop rotation do you have to have, or are you monitoring soils all the time, like a lot of the modern farmers do?
Yeah, well, we do implement a lot of what DEFA have asked us to do, which is some of the soil mentor, and that's helped us a lot. We've allowed us to soil test fields, and we were already soil testing. It's not a new thing to us. We always had a spear for testing, and that's made a big difference in our fertilizer usage, I would say, more than anything. And we were able to monitor what fields are doing and how they're improving, or if they're not improving, we can do something else to help with that and keep a good accuracy on lime levels as well. That's a big thing. You know, I'm a big believer in having all the pHs right. That's a start, and then work on fertilizer from there on. You know,
yeah, get a good base.
Yeah, start with a good base, and I was lucky with this farm that my dad has always done that. He's a keen eye for seeing what stuff's short. If it's short a bit of potash, or is it a little bit high in phosphorus, or a little bit short of phosphorus. You know, and you can see that from the fields. And when we first soil tested, you could see that there was nothing that was dramatically out. You know, whereas some of the land we've maybe taken on outside of it has been good in one area and not in the other, and we've tried to adjust that to make that an even playing field as well.
Mm. Well, when I look back at my youth on the farm, the Fison's fertilizer and things, the 2010-10, there was nitrogen, potassium and phosphorus, I think there was. Yeah. Is that still one of the main contributors to getting the balance right?
Yeah, they're the main. They're NPK is your main source, and lime. And with the soil tests now, we can look at all sorts of, we can go into carbon and all sorts of different things to see what, and sulfur as well. It's quite technical to go into it now, but you know, I use a lot of information from the net, but I also use a lot of information from local people. It wasn't just me that grew the barley. It was a good team effort, you know, all the way from Mike Cayley at Alamo Farmers. He chose the seed, which was Tardis, through to Daniel, who's helping spraying and ploughing. And then Will McMillan came in to combine it with us. And it's a big team effort. You know, Marty Neen helped with the fertilisers as well. You know, so it is a team effort.
And that shows the close-knit, really, of the farmer community still.
Yeah, it is close. And I don't know if everywhere I go, it seems to have a good community spirit when it comes to silage or harvest time, which is nice. And that's what we had the other day. There was plenty of help and we got it done. I'm not aiming to be early every year. That's not my game, but it just happened that it was ready at that particular time. And, you know, and we've got to look at other factors as well. You know, bird problems as well. That's a big problem around here. And they would start an attack on barley as well once it gets really ripe. And, you know, it's all sorts of factors, really.
And what's next? When will the spring barley be ready?
Spring barley's looking about 3-4 weeks off at the moment, possibly 5 weeks. It'll put us to just after the show, I think. It's looking really good as well. That's right down in the bottom below the Venture Centre, on the what we call the Big Flat, which is one of the biggest fields in Mackled, which is a big gamble to put that into spring barley. But
what acreage is in that one, John?
It's about 20 acres in that one, yeah. So that's a big field for Mackled. Yeah, there's only a few more bigger than that around about here. But
You wouldn't want to be thin and turnips in it, then.
They would have done it one time, though. I know they would have. Yeah, they've done really good at that.
Charlie Corkle from Mackle telling us about the barley being combined, and one of the first as well, and having a bit of debate online with John Willie Moore and the team, all getting their diaries out to see when was the earliest they do. So possibly in the next couple of weeks we'll get a chat with John Willie.
Yeah, see what he's up to.
Always an interesting chat with him. So yeah, combining the north of the island again. It's, I suppose, you know, subject to a lot of the sunshine earlier in the sort of growing season, which probably helped get it going early and just about right now by the looks of things.
It's been quite a nice balanced year, really. Mm. I know, like we said before, it's a bit drier at the start, but we're getting the intermittent showers, a bit of heat. It'll keep pushing it on. I think plenty of grass silage has been harvested. Some green crops are being planted at the moment, ready for the lambs over winter. I think it's been quite a good year on the crop front. So glad to hear Charlie there. Ever the character, isn't he? And a nice little sun trap in Mackled for that corn to get pushed on.
You're listening to Countryside here on Manx Radio with Kiri Kermode and myself, Simon Clark. Well, we feature the young farmers because they are the future of a lot of the farms here on the Isle of Man, and we have to rely on them learning the trade.
Absolutely, we do indeed. And two of the older trades, as you mentioned there, Simon, the sheep shearing and the stock judging, absolutely key to livestock production and animal husbandry. And it's great to see the young farmers there still ever as active. I went along to Bolshugal Farm in Baldwin to see what they were up to and caught a word with some of the organisers and the farm owner.
Well, Jim Cayley, it looks like it's been a successful day here up at Bolshugal. Plenty of young ones around here for the stock judging and the clipping.
Yeah, yeah, it's with having stock judging here, you've got the young ones from all four clubs, so it makes a difference. So hopefully we will get lots of sheep clipped during the day as well. And
it's always a help, isn't it?
Yeah, never did anything like this before, never combined the two, but it seemed to make sense to do that, like to have the sheep stock judging and the shearing the same day using sheep. Usually you sort of have to go to two different Sundays or two different nights to do the two events. So yeah, hopefully it'll work.
Yeah, it's been a good idea, and obviously the turnout has been exceptional as well, but a lot of work for you lads putting it on though.
A little bit, but you're going to clip them anyway, and so it's going to be work like that anyway. And the biggest problem has been the weather this last day, just wondering are they going to be dry. The sheep weren't really dry till halfway through the day today, and yeah, we've just been a bit slow doing anything this morning because we're just waiting for the sheep to dry out.
And it has been a bit of an intermittent year, hasn't it, really?
Oh yeah, we seem to be getting, like, each week is two different halves, isn't it? You get a couple of days where it's all go and everything needs doing, and then you get the other couple of days where it's time to fix what you've broke or have a rest ready for the next time.
But it looks like you got the silage off in good time to get the field prepared for the car park for today.
Well they've only just got the silage done on one of these like half weeks where you could grab a couple of days, but the amazing thing is about the grass situation now. I think everybody's the same, it's just you can't stop it. Early on in the year it was a problem the other way, it wasn't enough, and now there's too much. You just you're thinking that's it, we don't need any more silage, but it's in a week again it's grass has like grown that much that you're thinking I'm going to have to cut this again in another 6 weeks.
It's quite a nice position to be in though, Jim. You don't know what the winters bring, do you, these days? They seem to be no 2 years the same.
Well, no, it's just a pity that it'll all be round bales from now on, and it's the plastic, and you're wondering, is it viable, and are they going to keep, because you've still got the ones left from bales left from the years before. Yeah. So you could do with using them up, but you don't want to waste the fresh ones either.
No, this is it. It's all about that management, and yeah, it's ever-changing, I know that much. But back to the young farmers, Jim, a great crowd here, Eastern Young Farmers, you know, flying the flag, and your two lads are very actively involved with the young farmers too.
Oh no, it's good to see all around. Like the cheering competitions did stop, didn't they, for quite a few years. I don't know how long they were stopped. Years ago when I was in the Young Farmers, like they were big events, and four big events each club had one, and like the number of people that would be shearing, and they were predominantly, as you'll know, late nights, because like
they didn't
start till like night time, and then after tea, and then it would never be before midnight, I don't think, and like sometimes very late when you get home.
No, that's it. I can remember clipping at Ellerslie, that was late on in the floodlights, and also up at Ballagilbert at Sutcliffe's. They were good memories growing up.
Yeah, same with me. Like I learnt my way around the countryside and like learnt to know the roads, and but like you say, Ballagilbert up there, it might be nice when you went up overnight, but it would either be dark or misty when you came home, and you learnt where all the jumps were on the top road and all the bad corners.
Typical young farmer here, Jim. You never grow out of it, do you? But how do you see the future, young farmers?
Well, it's got to continue. The rest of us are getting older and older. There's got to be somebody else coming behind, hasn't there? It's like everything in life, you've got to have young stuff and old stuff. It's just natural, isn't it? That's the way it is, progression.
And it looks like it's in safe hands today.
Oh, yeah, I hope so, yeah. You've got to learn. We've just done a novice class here, and you've got to have novices to get good. Everybody's got to start somewhere, and, yeah, that's what it's all about. Practice makes perfect.
And clearly you're still supporting, wanting to put a bit back in. You got an awful lot of enjoyment out of it.
Yeah, like I say, it used to be, I don't know, do you get prize money now, but in my day there was prize money, and you were quite happy with we've got £5 for winning or £3, but by the end of the night, if you got placed in two or three classes, you felt like you had a fortune going home.
And that's what it's all about, isn't it?
No, it's not about money, it's about enjoyment.
Exactly. Oh well, congratulations to today, Jim. Good layout, good setup, and a good turnout. Couldn't ask for better, I suppose.
Thank you, yeah, brilliant.
Lee Quayle, well, congratulations firstly on qualifying for the National Young Farmers Finals at Stafford, but it's been a huge success. I believe you've come away with some very good final positions.
Yeah, we got fourth out of the 10 teams that all qualified from all across England, and there was even a team from Wales there, so we're pretty happy with the result, really.
And you're fresh off the boat. I've just hijacked you here at Bolshugel at the sheep shearing and stock judging. But to get up in that level, Lee, amongst, you know, national finalists, these are people that do the fencing day in, day out for a living, maybe now, as young farmers go. But also, it is hard work.
Very hard work. And yeah, like you say, a lot of those teams are fencers. And me, Nick and Finn, none of us are actually fencers. We're farmers and fabricators and mechanics. We turned our hand to it and, we're pretty happy.
And like you say, you turn your hand to it. And I think that's the one thing that the Young Farmers Movement are able to do. They adapt and change. You know, there's a vast array of events on throughout the years. And this obviously is part of it. But at the qualifiers, Lee, did you ever think you were going to get through to the final?
We didn't think about it, really. It just happened. It was very difficult conditions at the qualifying. Like a storm just before it, so there was about, I think it said 9 inches of rain.
Oh, so you had typical Manx weather then.
Yeah, we'd practiced in the rain though, so we were well suited for it. But.
And so what does it entail? Lots of our listeners will know about a fence that you'll see to keep the animals, livestock in around the boundaries of farms. But, you know, there's lots of different versions. You see lots of wooden fences, wire fences. What did you have to construct?
This was a 30-metre, like, stock-proof fence. It's just a straight line and netting and plain wire.
Okay, so no barbed wire like we'd see around the countryside then?
No barbed wire. I think that's more just for the competition, just simplify it.
Health and safety?
Yeah, I think that is also one of the factors.
But that said, you know, fencing is so important, especially here on the Isle of Man. We've got a TT course in the middle of it all. You know, it has to be good. You know, animals escaping isn't any fun. But for that day, what were they marking you on?
It was a combination of all sorts, really. You get judged on all your tying off of the wire, the straightness of your posts, the tension, just, yeah, everything. How tidy you are, risk assessments, all sorts.
And this, I'm assuming, is all done by hand. You have to physically dig the holes for the strain and posts at either end of the 30 metres.
Yeah, you have to, all three of us have to dig a post in. And
who was the best out of the three of you at that?
I think I was the quickest this time.
We'll wait for the comments afterwards, Lee. But no, it is really, really hard work. And obviously, it's a great achievement for you guys. But after this, are you going to go back for more?
Hopefully, yeah. I'll have a bit of a break. We're all pretty knackered. But yeah, we'll try again next year, I think. So it will be Northern Area. I'm not sure where it is next year. But yeah, we'll try again and see how we get on.
Brilliant. Well, congratulations, Lee, and well done to the other two lads too.
Thank you very much, Gary.
Well, David Cameen, you've had a bit of a tough job here today doing the stock judging. Now, obviously, you've got to place these classes first. It doesn't look easy what you had to do.
No, Kerry, it wasn't. It was four good classes of sheep supplied by Jim and the boys. Pennatexel tups, which I asked them to do the reasons on. A pen of blue-faced Leicester tups, and then two pens of mules, Sheelands.
Doesn't sound easy at all.
After spending a bit of time looking at them, there was always a definite bottom, and then I worked my way back. And then, of course, you got to try and split the points. 12 points, you got to split them between the four animals. So, looking at the scores at the end of the day, I don't think I've done too bad a job.
That's good news, isn't it? That is good news. But isn't it great to see them here, the young farmers, all having a go? You know, some of them are non-farming people that are taking part in Young Farmers these days.
It is. And I think, a rough guess, I think there's about 50 of them taking part, which was really good. And it's nice to see the younger ones. There is younger ones going away in a couple of weeks' time for the Junior Stockman of the Year at Skipton. So it was nice to see them getting a bit of practice and taking part in it.
No, this is it. And I bet you remember your days as a young stock judge heading off the island too.
Yeah, it's going back about 30 years now. Represented the island. Never got a chance to do Northern Area, but I did down at Stone Lee. Even though I'm not a dairy person, I did judge dairy cows at Stone Lee. I don't know how that worked out, but yeah, it was all good times, and it's nice to give something back to this generation now.
And it seems to be in safe hands.
It does. Yeah, there's a lot of enthusiasm, and 50 people turning out to do a stock judging goes to show that they're still willing to learn.
And just going back to your class of reason givings on the Shiel and Tups, what were you looking for yourself in that class?
I'm looking for a good, powerful animal. Length, width, good stature in the feet. And something that I would purchase if I had the choice of four animals. So the one I picked first had a nice tight fleece, good width, good length. There's always a definite bottom, but even the bottom animal was still worth looking at.
No, that's really good, David. It brings back some great memories, though, and obviously it's been a huge success today.
It has. It's been a good day. The weather seemed to be playing in the hands of Jim out in Baldwin Valley, but he's got away with it.
Well, congratulations and thanks for all your support.
Thank you very much.
There we go. That was Jim Cayley from Bolshugle Farm in Baldwin, Federation Secretary Bryony Neal, and some of the others taking part in the sheep shearing and stock judging.
And it's a tough one because I know it's encouraged for the young farmers, you know, as part of the competition and their yearly points and merits that they get as well. But it's the older generation can't help. I mean this in a nice way, putting their oar in and going, oh, I'm not sure about the backbone on that one. They still all sit together and chat together, looking at them going, oh, I think that's my pick there, don't they?
It is. Yeah. That judging never stops. And day to day in your commercial farming business, you are looking for the animals that are thriving, that are going to make the farm business some income. And it never stops. So it's great to have all ages there attending at Bolshugle. Such good events. The Young Farmers is the heart of the community here in the countryside. And long may it continue.
Indeed. Just to mention out to the Sulby Horticultural Society show that will be happening on Saturday the 2nd of August in Sulby. But the show schedule is now available at the Farmers Combine in Ramsey, Ramsey Garden Centre, Felton's, Maga Greenock Farm in Sulby as well. So you can get details of all the plan of what you can enter as well for the Sulby show Saturday the 2nd of August. And the lots of them will be happening all at once. Every other weekend will be filled with it. But marvellous exhibition of flowers, photographs, craft work, vegetables, fruits, isn't it?
It's fantastic. These events are still happening around the countryside, and the one just before that, the Southern District Agricultural Show, same again, the schedule's out, so if you're looking to take part with any of your wares, have a go. You never know, you might come home with a couple of quid in a nice shiny rosette. It's just putting it on display for everyone to have a look at, and something to be very proud of.
Indeed it will be. If you missed any of the bits of countryside, you can find them on Manx Radio's website. You can download the podcast, just click on it basically, and it's free as well, and you can hear a lot of the interviews we do in a fuller content, and any of the other previous Countryside programmes are all available on the Listen Again. And if you have anything for Countryside, let Kiri or myself know. Countryside@manxradio.com, or leave a message for Kiri or myself here at Manx Radio. But that's it for this week. We're back next week with more. So until then, from me, Simon Clark,
and me, Kiri Kermode,
we'll see you then. Bye bye.
Bye bye.